Hello. As she said, my presentation is Capitalizing on Healthy Lifestyles. It's about a partnership that was developed in West Virginia between the state agency, the academic institution, and several communities throughout the state. Again, my name is Jill Nolan, and I have no relationships to disclose. So for a brief overview, as I said, the partnership involved estate, academic, and community groups. The purpose of the partnership was to increase healthy lifestyle initiatives centering around obesity prevention in the state. I'm also going to discuss the role of evaluation, which was my primary role in the project, and discuss some of the challenges and recommendations that come from those challenges. I'd like to begin by introducing each of the partners. The state agency that we worked with was the Office of Healthy Lifestyles. They're housed within the West Virginia Bureau for Public Health. They're one of 25 states receiving a CDC DMPAO grant. The Office of Healthy Lifestyles develops funds and coordinates numerous initiatives throughout the state. So it works with lots of communities to try to promote improved nutrition, physical activity opportunities in West Virginia. And they actually spearheaded the collaboration with the Development Office and the Main Street programs. So that leads me to the next partner that we had, which is Main Street West Virginia. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Main Street, but it's a federal program through the National Trust for Historic Preservation. And to become a Main Street community, you have to show that you have capacity, you have to apply and become designated, and you have to meet certain qualifications. And what they try to do is rebuild and revitalize downtown districts to improve, you know, economic downtown areas in towns. There are 12 Main Streets currently in West Virginia. So we work primarily with three Main Street communities, Main Street Kingwood, Philippi Main Street, and Main Street Ripley. And then the last partner I'm going to discuss is where I come from, which is the West Virginia Prevention Research Center. The WVPRC is one of 37 CDC-funded PRCs nationally. The mission is to transform West Virginia public health policy and practice through community-driven research. And one of the unique things about the West Virginia PRC is that they serve the entire state as their community. So as a result, they have a long history of partnering with state health and education departments for evaluation and interventions. So this is just to provide a little bit of a visual for where each of the partners are located throughout the state. You can see the top star is where the PRC is. That's in Morgantown. That's where West Virginia University is. So it's the main university in the state. The bottom star is Charleston. That's our state capital, and that's where the Bureau for Public Health is. And then the three communities are dispersed throughout. And to give a little bit of background on West Virginia, I'm not used to, usually where I present, everyone knows about West Virginia, so I don't have to explain some of the health problems and disparities that are associated with the state. But it is a very mountainous area and very rural. So a large portion of the population lives in rural communities. And it's one of the poorer states, so it has not much built environment. And there are different problems associated with that. So as a result, we have high rates of chronic disease risk, particularly obesity. So the rationale for developing this partnership was to try to take two different ideas, which is economic revival and healthy lifestyles, and identify where they have similarities, because you can't really have healthy people without having a healthy community. And you know, for a healthy community, you really need to have the economy going to support everyone. So Main Street also provides infrastructure to engage communities. So since you have to meet certain qualifications to become a Main Street community, they've proven that they have enough people working together to keep projects going and enough capital to keep things, to get things started and sustain these projects. Adding evaluation helps to identify feasible, practical interventions with promise. So by including evaluation, you can see what interventions specifically work. And what we found to be most effective are interventions that really try to for anyone this is true, but maximize the gains, but minimize the output. So these are people that are very busy. So how can we develop interventions that don't take disproportionate amounts of time and resources from them, but still have impact on the community? And additionally, Main Street provides a statewide network. So there are 12 communities throughout the state. So if you find something that works, you can develop it so that it's possible to be adopted in other communities. So the overall goals of the partnership were to increase healthy lifestyle knowledge and behavior, and through community-based interventions targeting nutrition and physical activity. It was also a main goal to utilize community resources. So when possible, they try to use like local supermarkets or local businesses as opposed to national chains to partially promote those businesses, but also establish those relationships to increase sustainability after some of the funding isn't there. Another goal was to enact community-level policy and environmental changes, and then to conduct evaluation and provide evidence-based strategies. So for our role from the evaluation, some of our guiding principles first were to be very transparent and very clear with the communities about what participatory evaluation is. Because I think anyone really, like if someone came in today and said, "Hi, I'm going to be evaluating your presentation," I would have kind of a defensive response to that. And I think that's natural, especially for people in communities, to feel you have an academic agency coming in and they're going to evaluate what you do. So to try to be clear that you're trying to help them identify what works and then also document what they've done so that they might be able to increase their own capacity for evaluation and apply for additional funds. So once we were able to convey that to the community partners, they were much more willing to work with us and try to, you know, have more of a collaborative process. So we also tried to involve the community members in survey development, survey administration, and then in turn they kind of sought us for input in intervention methods, so it really became more of a collaborative process. And it's important also to have regular open communication among partners, especially with the communities. You want to be very clear about what you're doing. So next I'm going to move into some of the evaluations or some of the interventions that were done and then how we evaluated them. And the main interventions we worked with were the individual and family behavioral interventions. And some examples of these are cooking schools, which is a series of four parent-child cooking classes. The goal of this is to increase family meals and healthy eating. So ideally what you have is several workstations where families can come, you provide all of the materials, and then teach them how to make certain meals, and they try to incorporate different messages on how to modify meals. So this is a technique, not just a recipe. You can use this with other meals to integrate more fruits and vegetables. The Family Fun Challenge is a two-month physical activity intervention. It's a scorecard intervention. So children are able to, it has a calendar for 2 months of different opportunities in the community. Like some of the libraries would do We Fit on Wednesdays, or they would have reduced admission rates to the pool or the skating rink, different things that they could use their card for. And then they also had a place where they could document how many hours of physical activity, and they were unlimited for the number of scorecards they could fill out. They could fill out as many as they wanted. So the goal of this, again, was to increase community physical activity opportunity and individual child physical activity. The final intervention was the Kids Garden Project. And this, I think it kind of became one of our favorites as far as evaluators. And we actually had, there was a whole presentation yesterday on the Kids Garden Project. But this was developed by one of our Main Street communities, Main Street Kingwood. And their idea was instead of having a community garden in these rural areas to do individual gardens for families. So they provided the resources like seeds and seedlings and instructions, and each child had to have like a parent or grandparent as a mentor. And then the county gardener would go around and evaluate, like kind of award the first place, second place. And there were some problems that went with this intervention, but it really ended up being a good way to translate knowledge that was already in the community, in the families, to children who weren't maybe involved in their family gardening beforehand, with the ultimate goal of increasing fruit and vegetable consumption and gardening skill. So our methods for evaluation were intervention-specific pre- and post-surveys, and these are tailored to each individual community. So while we worked with three communities, some of them might have different goals for their cooking school. Like one really wanted to emphasize whole grains. So we tried to develop, some specific questions to see, is that a message that was really translated? Participatory observation. When possible, we try to at least go to some of the sessions to really see what's going on. And then qualitative assessment, including focus groups and individual interviews. Just to give a brief overview of some of our findings, 58 parent-child pairs have completed pre- and post-surveys. Many more have actually attended cooking schools, but you know, everyone knows how that goes when you're trying to work with communities to get pre- and post-surveys turned in. But of those 58, 60% reported trying new fruits and vegetables, and these are of the parents. 91% reported learning new ways to prepare fruits and vegetables, and 12% reported an increase in weekly family meals. So in the Family Fun Challenge, I have it divided by year and participation. And the reason I did this was because in the same communities, you might have the same participants from year to year, so it's hard to capture an overall number of how many people total have participated. And for the Kids Garden Project, there have been 30 children total who have participated in the Kids Garden Project, and all parents respondents feel that this is a good way to increase child fruit and vegetable consumption. So to touch on some of the challenges that we experienced with this partnership, and I don't know if this happens with every state or bureaucratic agency, but funding and contract delays are a real problem because the main streets are constantly waiting on their funding, so they can't start really their intervention sometimes until the second quarter of the grant year. So that's a real problem, particularly when there aren't a lot of resources for them to borrow from while they're waiting for this funding to come through. Competing priorities. One of the great things about working with Main Streets can also be a challenge because they do have other responsibilities and obligations that sometimes take their time. And then communication and reporting, evaluation, recommendation is also a challenge because when you're working with a community and a state funding agency, you want to be completely transparent, but you don't want to overwhelm the community with too much paperwork that they're not going to be able to read through. You want to be able to translate certain recommendations. And then you want to be able to report specific things to your funding agency. So trying to negotiate what information goes where while being completely transparent can be a challenge. So for recommendations, when working with communities, it's really important to establish and maintain contact with community partners. One of the best things for us was to develop, you know, direct contact with Main Street directors and just go there. Like, go and meet face-to-face, and they become much more comfortable. They feel like they know you, and you get a lot more information, and everyone benefits when you can establish that relationship. Engage non-traditional partners. Like, I think working with an economic revival initiative might not be a normal partner for healthy lifestyles initiatives, but it's really worked well in these communities. Encourage cross-community collaboration. Several of the Main Street communities, as a result of this, started contacting each other, sharing ideas and methods. Publicize success stories. Like, when something really works, really build it up. Like, one of the Main Street Kingwood director that we have publishes in a state magazine, like, different interventions that they've done or projects that they've done. Try to find ways to integrate physical activity and nutrition interventions in existing projects or interventions. And consider the importance of geography and implementation. And this was as the example of the community versus family gardens. You have to really pay attention to your location. Ensure that all partners understand the common goals and complementary roles. And this, again, goes back to the transparency that you want everyone to be clear specifically on what your role is. And finally, engage communities in discussions of sustainability early on. Try to help them identify partners or other mechanisms so that they can keep a lot of these programs going. And when you develop programs, keep in mind that sustainability is an issue, so you want it to be something that's achievable in communities. And there's some websites for more information. All right. Thanks a lot.